glass of beer and talk about all the things we can. So spare a minute of your time. Oh, it's time for
In Pursuit of Happiness. Hops, a history. Today, Wild Hops Are Domesticated, a bitter romance novel, tempts you, and we enjoy beer feet away from where its hops are grown. Our expert today is Zoe, a hop farmer at Roofstaller Farms in Dixon, California. Lay back, enjoy a beer, and let's get growing.
Now it's time for some fun, time for some dares.
This episode, in what is the first of a short series with Zoe and Roofstaller, will focus on Zoe's journey into becoming a hop farmer, as well as the entire history of hop cultivation. Let's go. It's hard to imagine a time when hops were not intimately tied with the brewing of beer. This bittering plant gives beer flavor, helps retain a healthy head, and acts as a powerful preservative. But hops are only a recent addition to the long story of beer. Here are two questions for you. First, when did we first use wild hops in brewing? And second, once we noticed how great this plant was, when did we actually start farming the hops? To answer both of these questions, we have to go back, way back, before the movers and shakers of history, before Taylor Swift, Napoleon, the assassination of Caesar, and the conquest of Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
Light rain falls. A bearded stranger approaches. Confused, you ask, "Hey, what year is it?" He glances down at his wrist. "Let me check my rock. It's 2000 BC. "Cool. Thanks, man." The stranger leaves. Your feet are muddied from the marshlands as you approach a gentle stream. The tree beside you sways gently from the wind. In the movement, you notice a plant at its base that you hadn't seen before. Its light green hue and perturbing bulbs stand out from the dark green colors nearby. You pick one up and hold it to your nose. It smells fresh, earthy. You throw it in the river. Weird. You walk forward. Before cultivated hops, there were wild hops, which grew naturally in marshy woods and near riverbeds. Presently, it's hard to separate beer from the hop plant, but wild hops have been used and gathered for various purposes other than beer since antiquity. People in classical Greece would use wild hops as salad vegetables. Gross. And they were also mixed with bread dough to help raise the bread, lend flavor, and prevent the yeast from spoiling. Even as recently as the 1800s, hop pillows were used and believed to cure various ailments. But the hop plant, it turns out, is not always held in such high regard. Get ready for this title. German Benedictine Abbess Hildegard of Bingen, 1098 to 1179, stated, "Hops are not very salutary to man, because it makes him melancholy, dejects the spirits, and owing to its heat, is injurious to the intestines." Not everyone was a fan of hops, but before hops were used to bitter beer, brewers would use just about anything to balance the malty concoctions they brewed. Perhaps the most famous non-hop-centered ale was the Gruet, which combined, get ready, bog myrtle, yarrow, wild rosemary, and basically whatever herbs they had on hand to throw in the brew pot.
"With this herb, I make thee bitter."
Stop. Before we get too carried away, let's meet the wonderful Zoe and talk about her path towards hops. The sun sets, chickens run about, dogs mingle, cats meow, and drinkers relax together next to previously cultivated hops. Zoe and I sit across from each other on hay bales, beers in hand. How does somebody become a hop farmer these days? Let's find out.
I got into this accidentally, completely accidental hop farmer. I was studying to go to graduate school, and Roostdollar had this little tasting room, if you can call it that, less than half of a shipping container that had a window cut out of the side of it, four kegs, no electricity, no running water. It was outside. I've got this amazing dog named Stout. He needed to run, and I needed a beer at the end of a day studying, and I needed it to be outside. So we'd frequent this spot, made friends with the bartender. She offered me a job. I said no.
Wow, on
I
the
kept
spot.
Going. Yeah, I said okay. No. I was like, I'm going to grad school, dude. I was doing some volunteer work, but then I reconsidered and I thought, you know, I'm here a couple days a week anyway. It'll be fun, get some adult time. So I said yes. And so really how I became the farmer here at Roostdollar is just a story of saying yes. Yes to helping out in the tap room, and then yes to helping out with events. And then, hey, we need some help with, we had a beer club at the time called the Swiss Rifle Club. They needed some help with that. I said yes. They needed some help with marketing social media. I said yes.
Who needs hops when I can throw whatever I want into my cauldron?
The farming of hops, as we all know, is well established by Zoe's time. When then was the transition, historically, from finding hops to growing them? The answer, actually, is relatively murky. The first ever written account discovered of hops being used specifically in the brewing of beer is from 822 AD, from the abbot Adalhard.
After a tithe of the hops has gone to the monastery, part of the supply of hops should be given to him, the porter, every month. If, however, this is not enough for him, then he should be buying of, in some other way, a supply of hops so that he has enough to brew beer.
I'll state strongly that that voice wasn't historically accurate, but I had fun with it. But notice, I said brewed. Not farmed. It's suggested by these and other accounts that although beer was being brewed with hops in 822 AD, the quantities needed for a commercial production weren't yet great enough to warrant any kind of cultivation. An excerpt from Hopped Beer, The Case for Cultivation by D.Y. Dealister and W.J. Casper says this pretty well. Quote, "The absence of cultivated hops in the written record before the 9th century suggests that until then, the demand for hops was not yet great enough to necessitate their cultivation. Without such demand, monasteries, which were centers of trade, record-keeping, and brewing in medieval Europe, would probably be disinclined to record the amount of wild herbs collected by their tenants. Lacking specific written records to the contrary, we assert that the discovery of hops' preservative value in beer generated increased demand of hops, which led to their cultivation." End quote. So the farming of hops was not far away from the first ever written account of its use in brewing in 822. The first reference to hop cultivation specifically comes from the documents in the annals of the Abbey in Fresenskine in Bavaria, 859 to 870 5 AD, which mentions an orchid with designated hop gardens. Let's observe, okay, between 822 AD, which is the first written record of hops use in beer, and 860 AD, which is the first reference to hop cultivation specifically, implies an increase in the demand for hops. Let's slow down. It's pretty cool. Let's get back to Zoe. How did she get into hop cultivation?
We were working in the office and the boss looked at me. He's like, "Hey, you speak Spanish, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he said, "Hey, we've got this guy, the last hop farmer in California coming out, and he's going to teach us a little bit, but he doesn't speak English, so we need your help. We need you to come out and translate." Okay. And I said, "Okay, sure." Well, just as in any specialty, the vernacular is not common. So okay. I had okay. no idea half the things he was talking about. I didn't know the words that he was saying. But, you know, we figured it out and we spent actually a few days out in the field working together. A lot of blood, sweat, tears. And beers at the end of the day.
Blood, sweat, tears, and beers.
The education I've had as a farmer has been the toughest one. It has kicked my ass. It has knocked me down. It has spit me out. But it's also the most fulfilling thing I've done. You plant and tend and grow and cultivate and then harvest and then create something with what you've grown. There's a lot of satisfaction in that. You know, you're taking something from the dirt. You're adding a little water, a lot of love, a lot of sunshine. And then you actually get something out of it. And then the real magic comes in when you get to share that with other people.
What's your enterprise of choice?
Van grinned. Hops. Patience blinked. Hops, a vital ingredient used to flavor and clarify beers. I own Poomberry Manor, an estate near Tunbridge in Kent. And you grow hops? Van's smile teased. As well as apples, pears, cherries, and cob nuts. Drawing back in her saddle, Patience stared at him.
You're a farmer! One brown brow rose.
Among other things. Recognizing the glint in his eye, she swallowed a humph.
Gulp.
An excerpt from Rake's Vow, written by Australian romance novelist Stephanie Lorenz. Here is a tagline, if I haven't already sold you. He vowed never to marry. She vowed no man would trap her. But some vows are meant to be broken.
Yep, I have not read it yet, but if you're a romance novelist, lover, and a hophead, it's probably for you.
Yeah. We'll get into much more specifics on hop growing later in the series with Zoe. But for now, we'll focus on history, both Zoe's and hops as a whole. Zoe's experience learning hands-on from a hop farmer really mirrors the spread of the plant itself. Knowledge of cultivation of hops slowly spread around the medieval world from person to person, mistake to mistake, success to success, methodically improving growing methods and its implementation in the brewing of beer through blood, sweat, and tears.
Oi! You got one of them hoppy, noppy fiddlywinks?
Yeah, I think we got one of those.
By the 16th century, then, hopped beer was common in England. And nearly a century before, when Ron Hischgebot, the German beer purity law was implemented, which stipulated that only water, barley, yeast by association, and hops were allowed to be used to brew beer. And the die was cast. With the influence of empire, hops and the cultivation of this bitter little plant were here to stay and spread throughout the world. Now, hops are almost exclusively associated with beer. Across the world, from farmers to New Zealand to England to Dixon, California. But that is not the end of the story. To understand hops, you have to look beyond its impact on brewing, cultivation, and history even. Here is a quick request. When you look around at people drinking mindfully together, gathering around a fire, just talking, ask yourself, how is it that a drink can bring so many people together? I know you're tired, but come, this is the way. Rumi.
When I would get home at the end of the day and I'd have my beer outside in the backyard, and I'd wake up in the morning and I'd drink my coffee outside. Mm-hmm. And my days off, I'd go back to the farm and work for fun. I'd take a little cooler with some beer, some food, and I would work outside. And it had a lot to do with why I loved what I was doing. I think probably another part of it was we've always had these really amazing people who work here. The person I worked with who hired me, who I still consider a very good friend, another of the people who I worked with, his name is Jared. He's actually the head brewer here now. He's just so interesting, creative, and kind and passionate. Another person, her name is Jo, my best friend, and she was just probably one of the most interesting people I had ever met. Again, super creative, super passionate. So I was surrounded by these incredible people, and something about the farm, that's who the farm was attracting. These were people slinging beers, by the way, who all have college degrees. They loved being outside. They loved the creativity of it. There was a little bit of magic in there. You definitely feel it. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into creating that magic, but there is something.
There is definitively something. Walking into Ruhestaller and talking with Zoe was genuinely and truly a memorable experience for me. Zoe will share her vast knowledge of hops, farming, sustainability, and much more later in the series. Until then, Zoe is now an expert farmer. And a plant that was once tossed in a river is now cultivated and enjoyed by millions.
It's got me feeling like Bobby left to right.
Thank you genuinely for listening to the Beer Nomad Podcast. If you find value in the show, it helps if you rate, review, and subscribe where you're listening now. It helps us continue to make the show better. If you have any questions about this episode, future episodes, previous episodes, just reach out to me at my Instagram at the Beer Nomad Van. That's it for this week. Drink good beer and be good to each other. Cheers.